Benedict XV. So we currently have our Holy Father Benedict XVI, so the last Pope Benedict, who was the Holy Father early last century. Benedict XV said of St. Thérèse of Lisieux that she was the greatest saint of modern times. So not just that she was a saint, but the greatest saint of modern times. There are literally thousands upon thousands of miracles that have been attributed to her. I actually have people come to me with some frequency and say, Father, gosh, I prayed to St. Thérèse and I received this certain grace over and over and over. St. Thérèse entered the Carmelite monastery when she was 15 years old. She lived there for 9 years until she passed from this world and entered heaven. For 9 years, she lived with the same 20 women in the small confines of a Carmelite monastery that they could never leave. Okay, you know how well you get to know someone when you live with them. 9 years with the same 20 women. At the end of her life, she spent the last 18 months bedbound. She was dying of tuberculosis. About 3 months before she died, she's sitting there in her cell, lying on the bed, and two of her Carmelite sisters are outside her window, and they don't realize that Thérèse can hear their conversation. And one of them says, you know, Thérèse, she's such a nice woman and all this, but gosh, what are we going to say at her eulogy? She never did anything. They had absolutely no idea that they were living with one of the greatest saints in the history of the church. How could that possibly be? Just recently I began reading a book on the life of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, actually his autobiography. Many people said, you know, would you please write about your life? Tell us about yourself. And he wrote, it was the last book he ever wrote. And he entitled this book, Treasure in Clay. Now, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he has just been declared venerable. So when someone's cause is presented for canonization, there's a process. And when someone is declared venerable, it means that all their writings have been studied. They have been determined to have lived a heroically virtuous life. All that is necessary to be beatified is that a miracle is attributed to them. And then the next step, another miracle, and they are declared a saint. So the church has said he is a saintly man. We're just waiting for a miracle. He entitled his autobiography, Treasure in Clay. And he said the reason that was is because that is how he saw himself. He said the treasure was his share in our Lord's sacred priesthood. And the clay was himself. He said, if someone were to ask me, how do you see yourself? He would say, first and foremost, I see myself as a priest. I am no longer my own, but every moment of my life, I am called to live in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, but that is only one side of the coin. The other is that a priest remains a man. My brothers and sisters, it is the humanity of others that we have such a hard time seeing beyond. And that might have been most true for Saint Damien of Molokai, Damien of the lepers, this man who went and gave his entire life to serve these people who no one else wanted to serve. Reading a biography on his life, the biographer says, he's trying to be nice, and he says, He had a totally natural human personality, which means that he had many faults and weaknesses, right? He was totally human. Now, this man, St. Damien, it would be hard to say that anyone loved God and man more than he did during his life on earth. And yet he remained human. And at the end of his life, people came forward and they said, we believe this man was a saint. They sent letters to the Vatican. Please, will you start his cause? And others says, how can you do that? He wasn't perfect. And the great British author, Robert Louis Stevenson, who was not even a Catholic man, he wrote a public letter that was published in one of the most well-known newspapers of England at the time. And he said this. He said, Damien, was at times coarse. He was rough around the edges. He was often dirty. He poured out his life literally with his sweat and blood to serve these people. On occasion, he was strong-headed. At times, he was stubborn. And he went through all these things, and his conclusion was this. He said, "There are many people who require their saints and heroes to be infallible. To these, the story of Damien will be a painful one. Yet not to the true lovers, patrons, and servants of mankind. Damien, with all his weaknesses, was essentially heroic." And one of his own fellow religious said, "Damien was an ordinary man who made the most extraordinary choices again and again and again." My brothers and sisters, what is true of the saints, what is true of all holy men and women, is all the more true of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, how could people possibly have taken offense at him? How could they not realize he was who he was? Because to them he was ordinary. He lived among them, they knew his family, he was a carpenter. My brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ, he always gives enough light that we might believe, that we might follow him, that we might know good from evil, but he never gives such a super abundance of life that it takes away our freedom to reject him. He gives enough light to believe, but nonetheless he calls us to make the act of faith. Do you choose me in love? I'm not going to force you to follow me. One of the scariest lines in Scripture is when our Lord says, light was sent into the world, but people preferred the darkness to light. What did the people at the foot of the cross say as they mocked him? If you would just show yourself to us plainly. For many people, they would have said that he did. All the miracles, the wisdom that he preached, the moral uprightness of his life. But people had to make a choice. My brothers and sisters, as our faith increases. You remember when John, after the resurrection, he and the apostles are out on the boat? And our Lord speaks to him from the seashore, and only one of the disciples recognizes him, and it's John. And as soon as he hears his voice, he says, "It's the Lord." If we had the eyes of faith, we would say that over and over and over every single day of our lives. No matter what our Lord is sending to us, because we would know that everything flows from his hands. So whether crosses or joys, suffering, sorrows, the blessings, we would say, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And we would say that above all about his body, the church. I close with this because we live in a time where so many people question or doubt the church. She is human and she is divine. So many people get lost in her humanity, as they got lost in our Lord Jesus Christ's humanity and failed to see his divinity. My brothers and sisters, may we be people of faith. May we ask our Lord for an increase of faith, that we might recognize all the ways he comes to us and the ways he continues to lead us through his church.